So today on 23rd of July 2014, we will discuss about one verse in Bhagavad Gita, which is in third chapter, called as Karma Yoga, the union by action. Yad yad acharati sreshthas tat tat devetaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever action a great person performs, common men follow. And whatever standards the great person sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Explanation. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. Very significant, no? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that a teacher should be behaving properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by his own example, and also means ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of scriptures to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of scriptures. The scriptures are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard scriptures. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And that is the way of progress of the path, on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of the state, the father, the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders like king, father or a teacher have a greater responsibility to their dependents. For the king, who is a dependent? The praja. For the father, who is a dependent? The children. For the school teacher? The students. So all such natural leaders have great responsibility to their dependents, and therefore they must be conversant with the standard books of moral and spiritual codes. There's one more beautiful verse which is connected with this verse. Saktaha karmanya avidvanso yatha kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvams tatha saktas chikirshu lokasangaham. Please listen carefully. The translation of this verse is as follows. Hare Krishna. As the ignorant person performs his duty with attachment to results. As the ignorant person performs his duties because he wants results. The learned man may do similar action but without attachment. An ignorant man, he will do action with results. He wants results. The learned man will do the same activity without results or without attachment for the sake of leading people on the right path. A person in God consciousness or Krishna consciousness and a person not in God consciousness or Krishna consciousness are differentiated by what? by different desires. Very simple. The people who are God conscious or Krishna conscious, they have certain types of desires. And the people who are not, they have different types of desires. A Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not favorable to development of his devotion to God or Krishna. He may even act exactly like the ignorant person who is too much attached to the material activities. But one is engaged in such activities for the satisfaction of his sense gratification, for his selfish purposes, for his own enjoyment. Whereas the other, that is the devotee of the Lord, is engaged in the same kind of activity for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Krishna conscious person or God conscious person is required to show the people how to act and how to engage the results of his action for the purpose of his devotion to God. Hare Krishna. So I thought, all of you being teachers, you have bigger responsibility. Your teachers, your students, they come, they stay for some time, they learn and they go, and the new students come. And every student carries the impressions given by you. Right? Whatever you do, more than what you say, is carried by them. Even if you don't say anything, just by looking at you, they carry the impression. That's why I remember in my childhood, whichever teachers I liked, that subject I liked very much. So first was not the liking of the subject, first was liking of the teacher. When I loved the teacher, that subject I loved the most, and then I became best in that subject. Because math teacher was very good, my English teacher was very good. So, can I get some water? Teacher gives inspiration to the students by two ways. What are the two ways of instruction, inspiration? One is by the words. Huh? One is by words, another is by actions. And how much percentage your words inspire them?
30%.
Maximum 30%. And your job is to teach through words, right? And your words are affecting only 30%. What about the rest 70%? Is called as non-verbal communication. Non-verbal communication is 70% effective, more powerful than the verbal communication. In our scriptural language, it is called as Vapu and Vani. Vapu means physical association. You may not be speaking, but you're just being together and doing something together. And Vani means hearing the words. And it is explained that it is more important to have Vani than Vapu. If your teacher is not with you, if his instructions are with you, you can still go on and you are still with the teacher. As long as you follow the instructions given by the teacher, you are with the teacher. You will never miss the teacher. If teacher has taught you something and you are practicing that, you feel the presence of the teacher with you. And if you are lucky, then you can get the physical association of the teacher. How the teacher does, if you travel with the teacher, maybe stay with the teacher in the camp, and you see the teacher, how the teacher is behaving and talking and conducting herself or himself. Those things are also important. In physical association, there may be words, there may not be words. And there may be action, there may be no action. But action and words, both effect. Both have effect on the student. So this is what we learn. And more than what we speak, what we do is effective on the students. And suppose your actions are contrary to what you say, that is called as destructive. Whatever you do, you become destructive. Then whatever you are taught also becomes destroyed. If your actions are contrary to your instructions. That is why a teacher may not know how influential she or he is. But by default, when you become a teacher, you become very responsible for everything that you do. Because you may not know, but whatever you do, sometimes you say something or do something, it really affects the heart of the student. And when you behave nicely, then lot of expectations are also there from the student, from you. And suddenly you do something which is very contradictory, absolutely opposite than what you are supposed to do. Then all the expectations, high expectations that they have for you is finished. And then whatever you have taught them earlier is also destroyed. Whatever success you have received earlier is also finished. So it's very responsible. It is said there are 4 kinds of people are very responsible. One is the king, who has a very large responsibility. All the people in the kingdom are looking up to him as leader and as teacher. So whatever he says and does is affecting every citizen in the kingdom. Then comes the spiritual master. All the disciples and the aspiring disciples are all looking up to him. And he has responsibility towards all his disciples to behave ideally, to teach ideally, and to guide them to follow ideally. Then comes father and mother. They have their responsibility of children. Husband has responsibility of wife. Father has responsibility of children. So many people are there, and you are always one of them. As teacher, you are responsible to your students. As mother, you are responsible to your children. And if you become a leader of the society or some caste or some group of people, then there also you have everybody looking up to you, right? So that is why one has to be very careful. I'll give an example to you why I read the next verse. That why some people do not need to do some things, but they still do the things. Suppose I come to camp with you, and there are many students who are also coming in the camp with you, and they are supposed to wash their clothes and dry in a particular place. I don't need to wash my clothes, but to set an example, I still wash the clothes and dry in a particular place. And if they are told to come at 9 o'clock, I'll be there at 8:55, 8:58. Even if I come late, it doesn't matter. This camp is for them. Sometimes, as a teacher, you may not need to do something, but you still will do something so that you can set up a good example. I can give you many more examples. For example, there was one in Barsana, I came with a family, where we always go and take prasad and, you know, they give us gifts and everything. So in that family, the mother died one day. And I know they are extremely saintly people, everybody in the family. The mother was extremely saintly and pure devotee of the Lord. So when she died, her son, who was also a saint, did her shraddha, all the procedures and rituals. And what we understand is those rituals are done for people who are supposed to take birth again, not those who have received liberation. Those who have received liberation, why we do ritual for them? They are already gone to the kingdom of God. The rituals are done for those who are going to come back again in some other place, so that their next journey should be very comfortable and very betterment for them. So all the rituals are done over here, so that they go safely to the next destination and next life and nicely go on with next life, and we provide them strength by our prayers and rituals. But those who are supposed to be liberated at the end of their life by the dint of their worship to the Lord, we don't need to do anything. Shraddha kiske liye karte hain? Dubara aane wale hain, unke liye shraddha karte hain. So I asked their guru, ki why Panditji need to do Shraddha for his mother. So immediately he quoted this 3.25 of Bhagavad Gita. He said, Panditji is a leader. He is preaching. He is traveling and preaching. If Panditji's mother is liberated and doesn't do Shraddha, then all the common men who are following him will also stop doing Shraddha. So Panditji is not doing. Panditji's mother died. And it's only one chance for you to prove your example. Because you only have one mother. You can't say, one mother time I made mistake, second mother I'll do correction of mistake. You cannot do that. You only have one mother. So only one opportunity to set up an example. So his mother died, he still did Shraddha. Why? Because there are many people, maybe thousands of them, whom he is addressing regularly and teaching and giving instructions. And if they come to know that he has not done Shraddha for his mother, then they also will not do Shraddha for their mother. And their mothers may not be pure devotees and may not be liberated at the end of their life. That is why, to inspire everybody, even if he doesn't need to do, still he has to do. So others who are not as qualified will not misinterpret his action. And that is our responsibility. Many times, and there are two things that we do. There are some things which we need to do, and some things we are not supposed to do. When we do things which are not supposed to do, it's also an offense. Is that right? You're not supposed to go and open the cupboard without permission of Kamalakshi. And if you do it, it's an offense. And you're supposed to clean the cupboards every day, and you don't do it, it's an offense. So there is something called an act of commission, an act of omission. Suna aapne? These are technical terms. Act of commission is you do something which you are not supposed to do. An act of omission is you have not done something which you are supposed to do. You are supposed to take the classes as per the timetable, but you have skipped the classes. Because today your superior was absent, so you said, I will not take the class. So you have failed to do whatever you are supposed to do. So it's an offense. And you're not supposed to beat the children with the stick. And today you got so angry, you beat the children with the stick. So you did something which is not correct, and you did not do something which you are supposed to do. Both things affect the students equally. So we have to be very careful in doing something what we are supposed to do and in not doing something we are not supposed to do. And believe me, children, the students are watching you very, very, very carefully with lens in their hand. Every nail of yours they are watching. Because I was watching my students, my teachers in the school. Because we love them so much, now we will just observe them from top to bottom. What they are wearing, what is their hairstyle, how they talk, how she smiles and how nice dimples come on her cheeks. And we would go and discuss with my sister. My teacher is so nice and so sweet. And she would say, her teacher is so sweet. And I would say, no, my teacher is more sweet than yours, your teacher. And then she will argue with me and we will keep arguing with each other and keep proving how my teacher is more sweet than your teacher. This is not the subject that she is teaching, no? She is teaching geography or mathematics, but we are observing her still. And what is today's students are talking at home? Do you know? What kind of hairstyle the teacher has done? All names, you know, front locks and what straps and this and that and everything they know, all kinds of things. My teacher did this and, you know, this kind of earrings, and today she did the eyebrows and today she did that and everything. Her hands were full with mehndi, henna, and the design was so nice and fingers were black but other things were nice. So many things they discussed, and her dresses, and I don't want to go beyond that. What all the students are talking about teachers today. Ugliest things, when they are visible, they keep talking about it also. So the teachers don't know. They have just come in a particular way, but the students are observing everything. Because they are students. They are very, we call them Marathi saukas. Saukas means they are very curious. And their senses are very strong. They pick up things that you may not be able to understand how they are picking up that thing. But they are picking up. Their senses, their ears, their eyes, their nose, everything they pick up very beautifully. That is their age. Most dynamic and most enthusiastic age. Most active body they have got. Not like us. We are all now middle-aged. So, that's why I say non-verbal communication. as teachers, when you present yourself in a particular way, don't think that teachers are, students are fools. They will not receive it. If today you are not in good mood and you are teaching, the students make out, teacher ka mood nahi aaj. Or teacher is very happy today, they also can make out. But he is angry today or upset today, they also find out. Everything, you cannot hide anything. You may think I am very expert in making a good drama in front of my students, but students are micro observant of every action of yours and every line on your body, on your face, they are observing what's happening exactly. Is she trying to put up a drama or is she realistically showing what she is showing? So, from the point of view of God, the teacher has a very, very sublime, great responsibility to behave in a way which is inspiring to the student, to behave in a way in which student will make progress, not like a job. You are paid for it and you are supposed to deliver, make your reports, exams, correction of papers, writing marks, making the progress report, and that's it. That's my job, that's all. If you do it mechanically, you will not get the results that you are supposed to get. But if you, as we say, nursing with fingers and nursing with heart, is there a difference? A great difference. Nursing with fingers and hands is mechanical. Nursing with heart is higher. And everybody gets pleased when somebody is nursing with heart. You can also make out, she's not nursing with hands, she's nursing with heart. Your way of looking at the patient, your bodily demeanor, how you are presenting yourself to the patient. Patient feels that you love, you have compassion. And if you do something mechanical, patient makes out. Like the student only. The patient is very, very recipient and observant. And he will always pick up things in the nurse, whatever she is going through. And if he is 4 days, then all different 4 days, four moods he can make out in the nurse. So, try and be a leader or a teacher in an exemplary way. Here Prabhupada is explaining in the explanation that acharya means one who teaches by his example. I must have repeated in this class to you many times in the past, but there is a great saint called Saint Francis of Assisi, right? He says that one should preach 24 hours a day and speak only when necessary. One should preach for 24 hours a day and speak only when necessary. And we think we should preach only by speaking. Our speech is actually only an aid or assistance to our example. Our example speaks louder than our speech. And when our example is very inspiring, our words become very powerfully inspiring. Somebody's example is very powerful, then whenever he speaks few words, that is like very heavy with inspiration. And people wrote down, immediately write down whatever that person speaks. But the example is so powerful. Same things other person may speak, but it will not sink in the hearts of the listeners if the example is not so powerful. So, I urge upon all of you who are teachers, and some of you may not be teachers, but still you are teachers. Please understand that. After a certain age, everyone becomes teacher. You know, may not know or you may know. You may not have a job of a teacher, but still you are teaching. Because you have somebody for you whom you are responsible. And those whom you are responsible for, they are always learning from you. A mother may not be a teacher or employer anywhere. Employee. Mother is always teaching. In fact, all that you learn, maybe 90% you have learned from your mother only. Even if your mother has a habit of bringing the chilies and once and for all making the paste and keeping in the deep fridge, oh, suppose, you will never give up that habit in your life also. You have a habit that as soon as chilies are brought, they should be grinded in the mixie and put in the deep fridge. Whenever you want, take it out and use. And I will say, no, use fresh. No, I am used to this. My measurement is with the paste, not with the chili. Same way with adarak also. So my mother was doing differently, and my wife's mother was doing differently. So what rolls in the house is what my wife's mother was doing. So my wife's mother never taught her, whenever chilies come, you should paste them. She has never taught that. Whatever she has seen, she is picking up. Whatever way chapatis were rolled, that kind of roller will come in my house also. You know, a thin long one or a big stout one. Depends. What her mother has used, that will come. But mother has never said, whenever you go to your husband's house, bring the long and thin one. Action, no? There are so many things are there. Or if your mother is, as she cooks and completes her cooking, she cleans immediately. She doesn't pile on. And she never tells, this is what you should do. If she is seen doing whatever she is doing, the daughter will pick up whatever she is doing. This is not true. No mother takes classes for her student, for her daughter. Okay, now today 4 o'clock you come, I will teach you cooking. It's never like that. You just stand next to me when I am cooking, that's all. I also learned cooking that way only. I was just observing my mother. And whatever I learned was that only. In between some questions I was asking, that's all. What I am trying to convey to you, that you are being observed by your dependents regularly. Sometimes you learn from students also, many times. But I am requesting you, present yourself in such a way that you will never convey a wrong message to your students. Because you don't know, you may be angry one day, upset one day, happy one day, and you know, very jubilant one day. All things may be possible. But in those changing moods, you don't know how deeply and long term you will be affecting your students. They will remember always. Some things which are very powerful, they will never forget. It's like that. So you have to be very careful. How you dress up, how you talk, how you teach, how deep you are in subject, how studied you are, well studied you are, how knowledgeable you are. You cannot say, I to thok denge aise kya hai. Anyway, vice principal is not in house to school today, so I will just manage the class today. I don't have energy to study now. Students will understand that. You cannot fool them. They understand everything. So that's why it's just becoming BSc or becoming D.Ed, B.Ed is very easy actually to give exams and pass out. But no one teaches in the school of D.Ed or B.Ed what are the good qualities of a teacher you should adopt. They only will teach subject, how to teach you, teach geography, how to teach mathematics, that they will teach you. But what other qualities you have to become an effective teacher, nobody will teach. In medical colleges, we are taught all anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, pathology, pharmacology, forensic medicine, microbiology, medicine, surgery, gynecology, PSM, ENT, ophthalmology, everything is taught to us in details. Different postings are there for every subject matter. But no one is teaching how to be ethical, how to be kind, how to be compassionate, how to be punctual, how to be, you know, care for the patient, how not to value money over the service, how not to be greedy, but to be service oriented, how to be sacrifice for sacrificing for patients, how one should sacrifice his own life for the sake of the patient, sacrifice sleep, eat, food, everything, how to be ideal doctor, who are the ideal examples of a doctor. No one is teaching that. So what happens, as soon as doctor comes out of the medical college, he is out to cut throats of people and fill his pockets immediately. Immediately. Nowadays, because the fees are so high, they are out. They don't care for anybody. They want to just give cuts and bring money and just, you know, as soon as possible they want to become rich, move in the cars and have big houses, and nobody has taught them. This is not what you are meant for. So, qualification to join a nursing school is to minimum BSc has to be there. Or qualification to teach BSc is you have to be MSc. It's all, it's good, fine. What about the qualities? What about the attributes that you must have to deal with the students and their emotions and their... Anybody taught you to how to take care of a homesick student? Anybody taught you? All RGNM students are almost crying. Everybody is crying. They are always morose, not eating, losing weight. Huh? Going to doctor. Anybody has a subject there? How to handle a unhappy student? How to handle a dull student? Nobody has taught you. That you learn by your senior teachers. How they handle. And that's how you pick up, oh, how I was like also crying in the first year and my teacher handled me so well. So when I'll become teacher, I'll handle in the same way. Very compassionate and kind way and considerate way. Hai na, sabke life mein hota hai na aise. So what you do in such cases is giving a long-lasting impression and memory for the student. They will not remember your community health services subject or medical surgical subject, but they will remember one activity of yours which will inspire them for life. And they will practice that experience in their life when it happens in their life, when the opportunity comes in their life of such kind. And that is not in textbooks. That is given in such kind of books. That is given in scriptures, not in textbooks. Scripture means word of God. And this is the word of God. That one has to teach by one's example. And that teaching will go life after life. Decades after decade and generation after generation. That good example of a good teacher will be always remembered and followed by generations to come. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.